This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Jason and Liz Burns in Access Church in Lakeland and Bartow, Florida. For more information, visit access.tv.
I hope you enjoyed this series. This series has been good. We started it last week, and I hope that you've been kind of taking this to heart. Like this series, I think, has some power behind it, because let's be honest, this isn't one of those messages where, like, I can't relate to it. We all deal with thoughts in our minds, whether they're great thoughts that bring excitement and joy and peace, or maybe they're negative thoughts that make us feel down on ourselves and make us feel depressed and anxious and stressed. Whatever age, whatever ethnicity, wherever you're at in life, you always are gonna deal with these things. And so I'm so excited to add one more installment to our series, Every Thought Captive. And Pastor Jason last week shared with this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, we destroy arguments, every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. That's what we're here to do, is gain knowledge of God and to take every thought captive to obey Christ. That is what we're here for. We're here to align our lives with the knowledge of God and compare every step and every thought with what comes from that. The other verse he shared is Romans chapter 12, one of my life verses. I love this verse because this just speaks to my life so well, but it says this, Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By the testing, you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Come on, that's what some of us are in a search for right now. What is the will of God for my life? So we have a world that wants to tell us how to live, how we should be living, the things that we should be doing, how we should be thinking, who and what we should be voting for. But God says, I don't want you to conform to the patterns of how this world is living. I want you to be transformed. I pray that there's a time and a place where the people of this world start looking back to the church to see how they should be thinking and what opinions they should be having. And that only happens when we begin to renew our minds. So if I take us one step further, I'm gonna share a message today. If I add one more to this series, it's gonna be this, allowing his peace to guard our hearts, to allow his peace to guard our hearts. Our verse comes for today, John chapter 14, verse 27. He says this is Jesus talking. He says, peace that I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as this world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I'm so happy that it's not based off of the peace that I can drum up in my life. Come on, let's be honest. Like Monday comes around and I might have no peace left in my life. I could be on I-4. Come on, we can all agree on this. We could be on I-4 and lose our peace in half a second. Come on, let's be real. And it's just peace in my life is fleeting. It's here, it's there, it's connected to emotions, external things. But I'm so glad John 14 says that it's a peace that I'm giving you. It's a peace that I'm leaving you that you're not gonna find in this world, that you're only gonna find from me. The portion of scripture we're gonna dissect here for just a bit is Paul's writing in Philippians. He's writing to the church of Philippi while being on house arrest. He's chained up to a prison guard. And he writes this message to the church of being overjoyed, being peaceful, and living a life with joy and acceptable and pleasing to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says this, don't be anxious about anything. I love how Paul's just so direct. It's almost like Paul's just addressing it like you can just turn anxious thoughts on and off. Like really, Paul, just don't be anxious. It's that easy. Just don't be anxious. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, this is important right here, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm gonna give you one point, and then we're gonna dissect this, give you a couple thoughts on this verse, and then at the end, I'm gonna give you a challenge to put into practice this week to allow peace to guard your heart. But here's my one point. If you're taking notes, write this down. Biblical peace is not the absence of chaos, but it's the presence of Christ. Like, I really want you to get this, because I think somehow in society or in religion, we've got to this place that we think the peace of God is just calm, luscious, green pastures with unicorns and rainbows and all these things. Somehow we've got this idea that when we say yes to Jesus, everything else just becomes easy and we don't have to deal with anything. No, biblical peace isn't just the chaos goes away. It's that you have a person, and his name is Jesus, to walk with daily. A person that gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's pray and let's get to work. Father, we thank you for today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for these next few moments, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you speak to our minds, Lord, that we walk out of here, Father, full of peace, ready and willing to do what you've asked us to do. God, we love you so much and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, everybody said, amen, amen. In second service, I mentioned that I'm a baseball family, and I said the team that I liked, and I think they got mad and turned my mic off. And so I don't know if I'm going to tell you, but I'm a baseball family through and through. We're big Braves fans. I went ahead and said it. And here's the problem. This is where I toted the line. I insulted the Philly fans. And me and Pastor Jason have that in common. I can't stand the Philadelphia Phillies. He can't stand the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why we love each other so much and we're so close. Go Braves. But we're a baseball family, okay? And my kids love baseball. They enjoy it. Like, my kids' room has all the baseball stuff up on the walls. We're a big baseball family. And so my son loved when we first moved to Bartow. The first thing we did was join Bartow Little League. And they had so much fun. They jumped in. And what I loved about this is they loved to move the kids all the way around. They didn't want to just have one kid play one position and just figure it out and have fun in that one spot. They're like, move them around. And so my son had the first opportunity to play catcher. If you know anything about baseball, catcher is the only position that they actually give you armor to wear. Like, it's no joke. It's like you got fastballs flying at you, you got bats flying at you, you got people flying at you sometimes. And so it's the only position where you literally look like real life Iron Man. You got a face mask, you got a chest plate, you got a over padded glove, and he's got these shin pads. And so he gets back up there to test it out, and you could tell he's afraid to get hit by the ball. I mean, go figure. It's a hard ball being thrown at somebody. I'd be afraid too. So he's back there and he's catching, and you could tell he's afraid and he's kind of out of the way and he's hesitant. And so I did what any good father would do. Come on, if you're with me, we practiced after practice. Some of you are shaking your heads because you know exactly where I'm going with this. Okay, it's just like if a son plays football, you pad up too, and you're like, I'm gonna show you how to tackle, right? I told him to pad up. I said, get your stuff on. We're going to the backyard. He gets on his catcher's gear, and I highly, highly recommend this. If you have kids or you're looking to have kids, make this a bookmark in your life. There was a moment where I said, get pad up, and then I'm just going to chuck baseballs at you. Like, it was so good for, like, anger or disobedience. You just, wah, wah. And it was this moment where I realized, right, the first one hit him in the head. First one. He didn't get injured, okay? This is where I'm going with this story, right? He was protected. He had a chest plate on. I hit him in the chest. I bounced one off his legs. And it only took a few before the light bulb went off in his head. This gear that I'm wearing is not just an accessory. It's something to protect me. It's something that if something gets by and hits me, it's not gonna hurt. Paul's writing to us in this scripture where he says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, all the things you know, all the things you don't know, it's there to guard your heart. It's there to be with you in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the rumors of wars and all these things. Gas price is going to $7 a gallon for who knows when. And it's all these things, right, that we live in. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding is there not to just be an accessory, but to guard your hearts through the chaos of this world. And see, the second my son realized that that mask was there to protect his face, because he gets his good looks from his dad, he realized that I have some more confidence behind the plate. I can stop this, and if it gets past the glove, it can hit. If we realize that the peace of God that surpasses all of your understanding is not an accessory, it's there for you to walk out in this crazy world and live a life that exemplifies who God is, then you'll have some confidence in your life. You'll be able to look through chaos and you'll be able to see the world go up and down and it doesn't affect you because you're guarded by whose peace? His peace. I'll give you three observations. And like I said at the end, I'm gonna give you an experiment at the end. The first one is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. It says, peace comes when you cast your worries. Peace comes when you cast your worries. First Peter says this. Peter writes to this. He says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares. I love this first part, casting. What he's talking about with anxieties and worry and all these things. He says casting. It's a Greek word, and it literally means to throw upon. It's like when your kids come home from school, what's the first thing they do? They take their backpacks and they just toss it in the house, right? It's like really at the front door, you're just gonna toss it and it's just sitting there right in the middle. It's the same mindset we need to have when we're living this life, is that there's moments where we just walk in and things hit you and you just cast it to the feet of Jesus. God, I can't handle this anymore. God, I can't deal with this anymore. God, I don't know how to get through this anymore. I'm gonna cast my anxieties on him because he cares. Of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And I love this. We said it many times. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, yeah, that's going to guard your hearts in your minds in Christ Jesus. I love how he says this. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I think sometimes in our life we have to just go through our minds and think about something, how good and how worthy he is of our praise. That's what we just did in worship. Some of you walked in here with the weight of the world on your shoulder, and all you had to say was, God, how great you are. I'm gonna speak Jesus over my family. Some of you might not even have a family. You're praying for a family. I'm telling you, let the peace of God be on that situation and speak and rejoice for who God is, not what he hasn't done yet in your life. That's where we have to be. See, here's what happens is peace does not come when problems leave. It comes when you cast that control. I think some of us in our life, we got saved, we got married, we went to college. We had this perfect picture that we painted in our minds of exactly what your life is supposed to look like. And we come to God every time through our prayers and our actions, and we don't have peace about our lives. We don't have peace about our situation because it doesn't look the way that you wanted it to. Can I tell you, nowhere in the Bible was that how God created you to live. With the idea of how your life was supposed to look like. See, peace happens when you relinquish control of what your life is gonna look like and you just say, God, I don't know what it's gonna be and I don't know how it's gonna get there, but I trust you. And that's all that matters. The second thing is this, peace grows when you control your thoughts. Peace grows when you control your thoughts. Philippians writes to this, he says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Have you noticed in life how fast your mindset can change? You could wake up and, you know, here's perfect scenario. It's 74, no humidity, sun shining. You got a tee time at a golf course at 7:45. Your kids are like, clean their room and cooked breakfast and did the dishes. And you're just like, you wake up and you're like, oh my Lord, there is a Lord and Savior, hallelujah. And your wife's like, you know what? I've got you golf all day if you want. And I'm just like, right? And then you get in the car and you pull out on a 98 and you're dodging pebbles as they fly off the ground. And there's three semi trucks going 40 blocking the road. And somehow you hit every red light on the way, and then you get phone calls, hey, this is broken, you gotta come fix this. And in that moment in your mind of just like everything was great just went by in a matter of seconds. That's what this series is all about, is controlling these things that control our mood, control our happiness, control how we have good days and how we have bad days. It's about what goes on right here in between our ears. Controls the outcome of our moods. Controls the outcome of how we're having a great day where everything's working, and sometimes just in a matter of a second, we could have the worst day ever. You ever notice that with our mouths? How we confess some of how our days are? I'm guilty of this all the time. I come to work and get to love on people and pastor people and serve people and read the word of God and pray with people. And then I get in my car and all these things happen and I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And then literally I get home and the things that are in my head and my mind is stress and worry and all these things. And my mood goes, poof. Gotta be controlling of these things that are in our minds. I had a pastor once tell me, He says, if you want to understand which thoughts are coming from God and which thoughts are coming from a place of non-peace, is add this statement to the end of everything you think and just test it. He says, and that's just the way I want it. Come on, parents, I know you've been there. My kids are never gonna listen, thought goes through your head. And that's just the way I want it. I'm never gonna have a family. And that's just the way I want it. I'm never gonna be good enough. And that's just the way I want it. See, how we control our thoughts is gonna be how we control and live out our lives. And if we begin to take captive of our thoughts and run this test and start to take accountability for the words that we speak and the words that we think, and instead of confessing those things over our life, what if we as people of God took a moment and said, I'm gonna start confessing and start thinking of the things that are higher than the situation that I'm in. I'm gonna start thinking about the things that are better than the stuff that I'm going through. I'm not gonna confess the things that I feel in the moment. I'm gonna start, like Paul says, to rejoice in the Lord, no matter what. The third observation is this: peace remains when you learn contentment. Anybody have just those words in life that you don't like? Contentment is one of those for me. There's just something about that verse or that word that just, see, here's what happens is contentment is when you finally realize that you're not in control anymore. Like that you finally are content with the plans that God has for you and not the plans. That contentment is you finally handing that perfect photo of the white picket fence and the three perfect kids and the two dogs that don't shed and all these things. Like it's you laying that down and saying, God, I don't know how this is gonna look anymore, but God, I trust you. I'm content with the plans that you have for me. That's contentment. He goes on in Philippians. He says this: not that I say that I'm speaking out of being in need, for I have learned. I love this part because to learn means that you've gone through some things. You've faced some things. I know some of us in here today are questioning God, like, why did I have to go through this season? God, why did I have to deal with these things? And God's response to you is so that you can learn some things through life. He didn't promise us to just walk through life with no ups and downs. He promised that I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna give you a peace that surpasses all of your understanding, but I want you to learn some things through this life. And he says, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be brought abound. And in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I love this famous verse in the Bible. I can do all things in him who gives me strength. And I love that ability in our lives. If you finally catch what God wants us to do, is to be content with who you are, be content with how he created you, and to do the things he asked you to do. And then you can operate in the strength that he gave you so that you can do all things through him who gives you strength. I wrote this down. If peace depends on what you have, which is most of the time is how we figure out peace in our life. God, if you do this for me, man, it will be great. If you do that for me, things will be great. So if your peace depends on what you have, it will always be fragile. But if your peace comes from Christ, it will always be stable. Come on, I want to see the church rise up and be the ones that write the playbook for this. Studies show that the Huffington Post showed that they said that 75% of U.S. adults in 2026 deal with stress and anxiety that leads to physical symptoms in their body. Fatigue, stress, anger. And they say that one out of every 10 of those try to mask it with substances. So we're turning to numb the pain. We're turning to mask the pain. We're turning to cover up the pain. And here's Jesus saying, hey, the church is supposed to be the role model of this whole thing and saying, the peace that I have surpasses all of that. The peace that I give you surpasses the bottle. The peace that I have surpasses the one-night stands. The peace that I have for you is bigger than all of that, and I'm giving it to you not as the world gives. We're supposed to be that model. We are supposed to be the living example of what that peace looks like. My question is are we? I want to give you these quick points. Taking notes with me, so write this down. I'll give you four quick points of what Pastor Jason last week called it an exposure experiment, where he talked about kind of avoiding the things that speak into your life. Some of us, at least at Bartow, we had a good conversation about cutting out social media in our lives, about the things, the algorithm that it feeds you of all the things that you need to think and need to watch. And it's been great to kind of flush that out. So I'm gonna give you one, I'm gonna call it the peace experiment. And the first thing I want you to do, when you get in a moment of feeling stressed out, worried, anxious, I want you to pause. Literally pause. Take a moment and just stop what you're doing. Philippians, Paul writes, he says, I want you to rejoice in the Lord always. So what I want you to do in this moment of pause is I want you to rejoice for who God is and what he's done for your life. And if you got nothing else to be thankful for, we celebrated this kind of this big event that happened just recently called Easter. Yeah, he died for you. That's something to rejoice about. If you got nothing else, rejoice about that. Here's another one. Maybe take a, in that moment of pausing, take a big deep breath. Oh yeah, I've got breath in my lungs. Thank you, Lord. Maybe just think about, like I love what Pastor Jason said last week. He said, the lady that said, I got nothing to be happy about. And he gave her a journal and said, write something. And she goes, I got a family and I got kids. Well, that's perfect. That's something to write about. Rejoice in the Lord always. I promise you, you've got something to be thankful for. The second thing is this, prayer. I love what Paul says. It's so simple. He says, in everything by prayer, simply pray about absolutely anything. Can I give you a newsflash? He cares about your hangnail. He cares about your kids' problems. He cares about your cancer diagnosis. He even cares about the traffic you deal with. Come on. How many of you ever prayed for a light to stay green and it did? That's how I know he's working in my life. I'm like, Lord, please stay green. Thank the Lord, right? And just pray about anything and everything. I promise you this. There's never going to be a moment where you come back. If you increase your prayer life, if you start praying more in your life, I promise you there's never going to be a moment where you come back to this location and say, dude, that guy's crazy. Like I prayed more for 7 days and nothing got better. Like I promise you that's not going to happen. I promise you, when you begin to pause in your life, when you begin to pray more about the things that he's given and put on your heart, absolutely anything, I promise you the peace will come. The third is this, what should prioritize? What should begin to prioritize? I love what he said. He says, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Anything. I get it. There are so many things that we pray for that maybe in the moment, God doesn't say yes for. I had a conversation with a young man at breakfast and he's been praying and praying and praying for this certain thing and it's never happened. And I said, buddy, I'm not here to tell you it's gonna happen or it's not, or it's gonna happen. I don't know. Like you might see it or you might not. Because here's the thing, I know in my life, there's plenty of unanswered prayers in my life that I now look back at through the life that you've lived, and I go, thank God you didn't say yes to that. And so I tell him, like, when he's going through these things, when he's going through his life, well, God didn't answer this, and God's not real because he didn't show up here. God didn't do this. And I said, let's begin to prioritize your life like Paul talks about. Let's filter our life. If there's anything excellent, is there anything worthy? Is there anything? Just go down the list. I promise you, we're gonna land somewhere where there's some reason to be thankful for who God is in your life. We'll filter down enough to we'll find something in your life to be thankful for. And we finally found it, and I said, buddy, there's your starting point. Let's land there. Let's begin to rejoice because that's something to praise God about. Listen, I get it. I know sometimes, so many times in our life, we pray for a spouse and then we get the spouse and then we pray that God takes the spouse to another person's house because we, you know, I've heard those stories. Right? Or kids, God, give me kids. And then like, you know, that threes and fours, and you're like, God, why did I pray for this? But I promise you, through the process, there's gonna be moments where you wanna throw baseballs at their heads. Just make sure they have catcher's gear on. And then there's gonna be moments where you look at them, like a couple weeks ago, I got to baptize my daughter, and I'm just like, this is the most special thing of my entire life. And I tell you to prioritize, because there's gonna be moments where you think that this is not from God, but then there's gonna be moments that you're gonna be able to rejoice and say, God, I thank you for this, because I have now realized why you did what you did. The last one is this. I want you to proceed. Proceed. We are not called to just stand around and come to church and feel good and get things for us and let me fix my problems, let me fix my issues. We are called to what Paul says in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Let's go outside these doors and show the world what all things in Christ Jesus looks like. Let's go outside these four walls and proclaim how good God is. Let's go outside these four walls and show the world that the peace that you're looking for, it's not found in a bottle. It's found in the presence of Jesus. And that presence of Jesus doesn't just help you cope with the issue for a day or a period of time. It's gonna surpass anything you've ever thought about. This week was particularly hard. Pastor Jason will jokingly say this. He says, when you come up with a series or a message, kind of God has this like funny way of making you live it out. Practice what you preach. So you've probably heard him a couple times as he wants to preach a series of being young, handsome, and a millionaire. And I'm like, sign me up. Like, I want to be a part of that four-week series, because I'd love to preach that, because I would love to live that out. But this week was a difficult week. I'm writing this series or part of this message on peace and what that looks like, a peace that surpasses all my prayers and thoughts and all these things. I'm writing all this stuff down. And a couple weeks ago, my grandma took a fall. She broke her hip, and she's 88 years old, and she's an amazing woman of God. And so that had that in the back of my head for a long time. We've got to spend a lot of time over the phone, FaceTiming, thanks to technology, and kids got to talk to her, but we knew around this week that things weren't looking good. Like, she was checking into hospice. Hospice was taking over their care, and so I knew that the writing was on the wall. And then, you know how I knew that was talking with her. She overwhelmingly kept telling me, I'm ready to go. Like, I've done everything I'm supposed to do here. I'm ready to go be with Jesus. On a side note, you want to talk about what peace looks like? That. I've did everything. I've ran my race. I've finished it. I've raised generations of kids that are following the Lord. I'm done. That's what peace looks like. And so in this moment, last night, I'm at our Bartow location in my office, and I'm just got my iPad, and I'm going through my stuff. And I normally put my iPad on do not disturb, and I didn't this time. And so I'm sitting there on my iPad looking through my messages, and I get a text from my mom, and it pops up at 9 o'clock last night, 9 p.m., and all it said was, she passed. And I remember being at this exact part of the message. Pause, pray, prioritize, and proceed. And in this moment, I mean, thoughts were going, do I text Pastor Jason and tell him, like, somebody else, like, what do I do? And I'm just like, I'm going through all these emotions. Like, I knew she was passing away, so it didn't hit me as hard because she's such an amazing lady. We processed that. But I'm just like, I'm looking, and I'm sitting on my desk, and I go to my bookshelf. And when my grandpa passed away, she gave me a bunch of his Bibles. And then by happenstance, she gave me her Bible from 1952. Yes, they had paper back then. I asked the same question. But I opened it up because I knew it was her Bible. And I've said this before, and I'm gonna say it again. If you're one of them app Bible people, I get it, I love it, I have it too. But get you a paper Bible and write in it. Like, you're not going to hell if you highlight and write in the book, like in this Bible. Like, you're allowed to do that. Real questions people ask. But now I get to go read her notes. Like, she has notes in here. And she has things that she's prayed for. She has things that she wrote for. She was always big on the mind. She loved Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind book. She read that and watched that. I love it. She never remembered how many she gave me. She kept giving me new copies every time. I have like 9 of them. If you want one, come see me. I've got 9 Battlefield of the Mind copies. I just take them. Thanks, Grandma. And she was always big on that. And this right here is a battlefield. Like, the enemy wants to clog this because who we are in Christ and our creativity and everything flows from this right here between our ears, our mind, and how we live out this world, how we raise our kids, how we love our neighbors, how we do community, all comes from what's up here. She always had this phrase, I think she also got from a famous preacher. She would say, I call with problems or call with issues. And she goes, Derek, I just want you to stop that stinking thinking. Like, that rhymes, Grandma. And it caught. And I remember I catch myself in a loop, right? Catch myself in a loop of thinking something wrong, doing something wrong. And those mind from Grandma, right? Stop that stinking thinking. So I'm sitting there yesterday, last night, 9:00, just found out she passed. Right in the close of this message. And I flip to the back of this book, this Bible that she wrote. And the very last thing she wrote was prayer plus praise equals peace. And when I read that, I said, I don't think there's any better way to wrap up a message on peace than to understand that's what we're called to do. To allow the peace of God to guide us and direct us and help us understand things, but it's also to praise him for who he is. Just be thankful for the yeses that he gives you, but also be thankful for the things he doesn't, and to be okay with that. To surrender who you are, to surrender what you're going through and say, God, your plans are higher. Like it says, it's exceedingly, I mean, it's bigger than I can even comprehend, God. That's the peace that surpasses all knowledge. I don't need to figure it out, God. I trust you. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? God, I thank you for every single person in here today, God. This isn't a raise my hand, I need prayer in this message. This is a message we are all dealing with. We are all dealing with thoughts in our minds. We're all dealing with things that we're going through. We're all dealing with stress, anxiety, and worry, maybe at some level in our lives. And so, God, I ask you that we accept the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That we realize that peace is a person, that we realize that is not the absence of things that are going on in this world, but God, it's the presence of Christ. It's the presence of you which gives us peace. So God, we thank you right here and right now that we walk out these doors and we go right back to life, but God, we go back to life with peace because peace is a person and it's you, Jesus. So God, give us more. Give us more of your peace, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed still, I know there's people in here that are watching or have been with us online or in here today, and you walked in here and you have no relationship with Jesus, or maybe you gave up on it. Maybe you were part of one of those ones that are like, peace, I've never experienced it when I said yes to Jesus. I want nothing to do with him. I promise you today, he's calling you back into a relationship with him. Not so that you can get things, but that so you can have peace in your life. If you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray with you. Amen. You can put it right back down. Here at Access, we don't pray alone. I want us to all say this out loud, and we all say this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I accept you into my heart. I'm ready to live for you. Thank you for dying for me. Now I am going to live out a life of peace with you. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody said amen, amen. Come on, can we just celebrate? People said yes to Jesus. Come on.